Good morning, all. I'm a compulsive overeater, and my name's Carol. I'm pleased to be in this spot, although it wasn't that long ago that I was. I also shared my story. So if you're hearing it over and over again, it must be because your higher power needs you to hear something. But I started out as a compulsive overeater when I was in my teens, and I didn't realize that I was a compulsive overeater, and I didn't care that I was a compulsive overeater. I got into other substances, and that became my my first addiction. And it wasn't until after I was sober for quite a few years that I was able to realize that food was my first addiction, that it became what I hid my life from. My feelings were always stuffed. I was angry all the time. I was hating people all the time. And food was the first thing that I would put in my mouth to stuff those feelings, because anger meant violence to me, and I wouldn't be a violent person. And you couldn't hate anybody, so I was just a bad person all around. And that's food helped me to cover up those feelings of being useless, worthless, and no good. And it wasn't until I was in sobriety for a long, long time, and I got bigger and bigger and bigger, and realized that food was a problem. And maybe food wasn't the problem, but the way I ate food was the problem, and the foods I ate were the problem. And so I had to do something about it. But I wasn't coming to OA because, you know, I had 12 steps. So I could just work them, and that's all there was to it. So I tried OA for a couple of months and realized that, no, it wasn't for me. So I left in 1999 and carried on with my life and my compulsive overeating until 2020. And in that time period, I don't know how much money I spent on diets, on gyms, on books that were going to help me to satisfy my need to lose weight, that I was going to take up the cause and fight this thing on my own. And I just fluctuated up and down and over and over and over again, and could not. And when I get honest, would not ask for help to get this under control. It wasn't until I really felt despair, and I hated who I was and who I was becoming, that I realized that I needed to reach out for help with my eating. And there was a member in the other 12-step fellowship who was in both programs. And I had met her in 1999, and I didn't remember her, but she remembered me and reached out to me. And I called her and I said, "Would you help me? I need to stop this nonsense with my food." And so then the very next day, May 31st, 1920, or 2020, I came into OA, and I've been abstinence ever since. And it's because I am willing to do the work. I don't want to be pissed off at myself all the time. I don't want to be feel useless, worthless, and no good. I need to work this program in order for me to feel okay with life on life's terms. And if I have to go to any length to do that, and that's giving up those things that I never thought I would give up in my entire eating career. You know, there's things that I, oh, that doesn't hurt me. That doesn't hurt me. And I've had to come to terms with those things don't hurt me until they hurt me. And so I've got to not let that happen. And I have to remain abstinent. And that doesn't come out without a price. And our, you know, our nine-step promises says, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, then we will get the promises. And I'm telling you, this program has given me so much pain. I have looked so deeply into myself. I got a sponsor immediately. And I started working the steps in the workbook. And what a difficult thing that was for me to get that raw and that honest with my life and how I had lived my life and how I had let food run my life and how I had run away from life with food. And I could not believe it when I saw it. But I was also amazed that, wow, that's what I did. I became aware of who I was. And guess what? When I'm aware of who I am, I can change because I was taught that. You know, I have to have awareness first, and then I have to have the open-mindedness and the willingness to work the rest of these steps to change. And so what I do on a daily basis is turn my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding and ask for help. And then when I get those compulsive thoughts, because I still get them and it drives me insane, I pick up the damn phone. I would never pick up that phone. I did not want people in my life. I didn't trust people. And you were just doing it because you have to. You didn't really care about me, you know. And so it was just the nonsense that went around and round in my head. And I had to say, hey, wait a minute here. I'm in this program for a reason. These people are in this program for a reason. We're all here together. And when we say we're in it together, and when we join hands, we find a deeper meaning in this program that will live life beyond our wildest dreams. I am in that place. I have just come through a place of not wanting to talk to God, being angry with God because of life circumstances. And I've been through that before, but I didn't want to eat compulsively this time. And why is that? Why is that? Because I practiced the program. I practiced the steps to the best of my willingness and ability on a regular basis. And when I do that, the steps work me. You know, and I'm very fond of saying, when I'm into me, get back to three. You know, that step three is something that I need to remember, that God is present with me and for me. And God, believe it or not, in my opinion, works through people. And the people are there when I need them. It's surprising the phone call I'll get or the text message I'll get. You know, it just amazes me how this program works. And the only thing I don't have to do is pick up that first bike that's going to drive my compulsions. And that takes a lot of willpower some days. But it's willpower joined with God's power that allows me to do that. I don't do it alone, and God doesn't do it for me. I've learned that. I thought God would send me messages and write notes on the table in the morning telling me what I needed to eat that day. Because, you know, I turned my will and my life over, don't you know? And it didn't work out that way. I had to participate in my recovery. And participating in my recovery means putting those actions into place that will allow me to stay abstinent. And as I continue to do that, I continue to be free from that feeling of uselessness, worthlessness, and no good. I'm not free of the compulsions yet, and I'm not sure I will ever be totally free of them, because my first thing when I get fearful or angry is, oh, stuff it. And yet I don't have to do that because I have the program. And practice, practice, practice makes this girl better at working the program. It's not something just because I read it in the big book or I read it in the OA 12 and 12 that I'm going to get it. It's putting it into practice that allows me to do that. And that means I have to take a look at myself and, trust God, clean house, help others. And those are the three things that I've learned that 12 steps give me, is the ability to trust God, clean house, and help others. And as long as I remember those things, I will stay on this abstinent path and include you people, include God in my abstinence. So there's not much more I can say. I know it's not been a very long time speaking, but I just know that this program works when I work it. And all I need is the willingness. And when I don't have the willingness, I pray for the willingness, because I know that I'm not alone in this. I have the people in the program. I have the God of my understanding. When I ask for help, I get it. And I trust that today. So thank you very much for my recovery.